Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Oddity, Blink Twice, and Frenzy.
Today I've got three movies which are all thrillers of one kind or another. The first two are more or less horror movies. The third one is more of a pure kind of a thriller, and it's an old movie. But they all have that in common. They all want to kind of keep us on the edge of our seat and guessing what's going to happen next. And the first one has, I think, an odd little title, which I rather like. It's called Oddity. And it was written and directed by Damien McCarthy, and it's an Irish film. And this is the one that's a horror movie, basically, or one of the two. So we have here a situation where at the beginning of a film, a woman is at home in this brand new house that she and her husband have just bought. And it's completely all sort of voided out inside. It's just a house that they're going to completely redo. And they're just starting. And in fact, she's got a little tent set up inside the house. And that's where she's sort of staying. And he's off at work. We later find out that he's a psychiatrist in a hospital not too far away. So there's the woman at home alone while her husband is away, and there's a knock on the door. And it's a pretty ominous place. It's way out in the country, and it's all dark. Again, there's not much in the way of electricity or anything. It's a house that isn't really being actively used yet. And there's a knock at the door. So she opens a little sort of window in the door, and there is a very strange-looking man there. And he tells her that while she was out getting something from her car, somebody slipped into the house while she wasn't watching, and somebody is in the house with her right now. So this is a total stranger who looks rather peculiar, who is telling this woman that there is somebody else in the house with her, and he says, "Let me in, because I can help protect you from that person who just snuck into your house." Well, now all of us in the audience are thinking, no, 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 you don't let a total stranger into your house just because he says that you're in danger. He might be the one who is putting you in danger. But of course, she starts walking toward the door, and it looks like she's going to give in. She's really afraid somebody might be in the house with her. And then, of course, we cut. And we have a completely different time frame now, and we are now in the sometime later on in the future, and we meet the person who turns out to be the twin sister of that woman who saw in the house. Now, the twin sister is a very important character in the movie. She is a psychic. She can touch personal objects and tell things about the person who had the object, and she is blind. So she now comes to visit that psychiatrist who I mentioned, and his current girlfriend, who are now living in the house, which has been all fixed up and it's nice. And she starts getting involved with them. She wants to stay with them for a while. They don't especially want her to stay with them, but she's just sort of insistent about it, and she's going to be there. She also brings them a gift. The gift is a life-size wooden figure of a man with his mouth hanging open in sort of horror. So what is going on here with this movie? Well, the film continues from there, and eventually various blank spots are filled in, not all of them, and we figure out just what's going on and just what's happening. And of course, we end up with various people, mostly women, in all kinds of horrible danger. And we find out that the psychiatrist, the husband, is a very different person from the kind of person that we thought he was at first. And he is definitely a very major character in all this. There's also an orderly of his at the hospital, a very sinister looking guy who is introduced a little bit later in the movie, but who also turns out to be quite an important character in ways that we could not have anticipated from the very beginning. So at times, Oddity reminded me of an old movie, which is really, really great, and which I totally recommend to anybody who likes horror films, a movie called Don't Look Now from back in the 70s. And it reminded me of other movies along the way. It's pretty derivative. And of course, it has cliches in it, like the, you know, don't open the door to the stranger, that kind of thing. But it's a very well done movie. It's very dark. It's very atmospheric. It has occasional thrills. It has a little bit of blood and gore in it, which is pretty horrible, but it's very brief, and there really isn't that much of it. For the most part, this is a fairly restrained horror movie by today's standards. So, Oddity. It's a little bit odd, maybe not odd enough to make it really adventurous, but it's sort of fun to watch if you like horror movies. And I was pretty well wrapped up in its very dark and brooding and miserable atmosphere. So overall, I give Oddity a fairly good review. It's a good horror movie. As I often say, not a great one, but a good one. Our next movie today, another horror suspense movie, is called Blink Twice, another slightly odd title. And this marks the directorial debut of the actor Zoe Kravitz. She has directed this, and there's been a lot of curiosity about it. How would she do actually directing a movie, which, by the way, she also co-wrote along with E.T. Feigenbaum. So here is what Blink Twice is about. A young black woman who is working as a cocktail waitress, her name is Frida, she meets a young tech billionaire, a young white tech billionaire, who is played by Channing Tatum. The woman is played by Naomi Ackie. And he starts chatting her up at this reception where she is working as a waiter. So, okay, he gets to know her a little teeny little bit. And he says, my gosh, you know, I own this private island. And a whole bunch of friends of mine and I are all going off to the island for a really wild time. Why don't you come along? Well, once again, you in the audience might want to holler out, you just met this guy. And by the way, he is not only a billionaire, he's really famous and he's always on TV and he's always talking about his charitable work and all of that. But you still want to call out, you should know a little bit more about this before you head off to the private island with him and his friends. But no, she decides that she's going to go. So in the blink of an eye, the movie is called Blink Twice, we are on the private plane, which is taking Frida, the server, and Slater, the billionaire, off to this private island with a whole lot of other people, played by people like Alia Shawkat and Christian Slater, and Haley Joel Osment is in the movie, and Gina Davis shows up. So, you know, pretty interesting and pretty good cast. Kyle MacLachlan is in it, who we all know from David Lynch stuff. So anyway, there they are, and they go off to the private island. Now, I have to say at this point, I would say this movie is about, a little under 2 hours long. For at least an hour of it, it's almost exactly like an episode of The White Lotus. You know, we have all these privileged, wealthy people off in this lovely resort, you know, with all kinds of beautiful weather and all kinds of beautiful foliage and all kinds of people pampering them and all like that. It is really just like that. And I would say not very suspenseful and not very interesting. Okay, you get to see these beautiful people at this beautiful place. And there's little bits of comedy because some of them are sort of klutzy. And there's little bits of drama because little sort of relationships and rivalries and dislikes pop up among some of them. But mostly, I just found it very much like a White Lotus episode. Then, of course, you realize that there are really cliches creeping in here. Again, more of these cliches. One person saying to another one, you know, something just doesn't feel right about this place. Something's wrong here. What do you think is going on? I don't know, but I just feel a little bit off. So you have little things like that come in, and we're all supposed to start feeling a little bit tingly out there in the audience. Then I would say somewhere around 2/3 of the way through the movie, it sort of turns into a more blood and guts version of the old horror movie Eyes Wide Shut. We have all these people doing horrible things, mostly to the women. It's, again, much worse than Eyes Wide Shut because it's blood and gore, as I said. But yes, now it turns out these women are there to be victims of the men. We also have discovered by now that there is a very strange other wrinkle, if I can call it that, going on in the movie, which is that there's some sort of potion that makes people forget everything. So the idea is that the men are feeding this potion to the women, and then they can do anything they want, any violent, horrible, beating up, rape kind of a thing that they want, and the women will forget it, and then they can all do it all over again. So this is a very unpleasant movie in a lot of ways. Now, also, of course, it's a movie which is meant to have a kind of a Me Too feminist message. Look what brutes men are. Look at the horrible things that they're doing to women in this movie. Isn't just this way the men are? And yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for that point of view. I think a lot of men really are beastly, and I think that masculine culture can really be horrible in America and elsewhere. But this movie is anything but subtle or thoughtful about the way it puts that message across. And by the end of the film, we are into pure blood and guts land. Just a lot of violence, a lot of horror, a lot of things doing people things to other people. And then at the very, very end, there's this big surprise ending, which I just found lame. It just didn't work at all. So overall, I was very unimpressed with Blink Twice. I didn't have a very good time watching it. Yes, the cast is interesting. Does this show that Zoe Kravitz can really direct a movie? I think it shows that she can direct a very conventional movie full of all kinds of standard, common variety horror movie elements and ultimately people committing mayhem on each other. She's good, at least competent, at directing that kind of movie. The rest of it, I'm not so sure of. I hope that she continues to direct movies. Hope she gets better at it. Above all, I hope she gets better material. But right now, I would have to say that Blink Twice, I would say, yeah, if you go to this movie, blink twice, and then maybe just keep the old eyes closed, because you're not going to really going to miss a whole lot. And now, as promised, I would like to turn to an old movie from way back in 1972, because it's back on the circuit. It's been available all the way through, but now it's been restored, and it's opening theatrically again. And I just want to call attention to it, because it was directed by one of my all-time favorite filmmakers, the great Alfred Hitchcock. It's certainly not one of his best movies, in its ways it's a very, very controversial movie. But it's an interesting movie, and I just want people to know it's out there. And I always recommend people catch up with a Hitchcock movie, even if it's not one of his greatest. So, Frenzy takes place in London. Hitchcock was British originally. He started his career in England, made a lot of movies in England in the 1920s and the 1930s before he moved to Hollywood, and then became one of the most successful Hollywood filmmakers of all time. But every once in a great, great, great while, he would go back to England to make another movie, and that's what happened with Frenzy. So in Frenzy, the city is being terrorized by somebody who is known as the necktie murderer, because what he does is he rapes and murders women, strangling them with his necktie. And the whole movie is about the efforts to catch the necktie murderer, but it's also about the necktie murderer himself. So one of the people who gets murdered fairly early in the movie is a woman who has a marriage bureau. She helps men and women get fixed up with each other for possible matrimony. And she gets murdered by the, she gets raped and murdered by the necktie murderer. And it turns out that her ex-husband is a guy who's down on his luck. He's basically sleeping in a flop house. His life is pretty much gone to ruin. And everybody thinks, the cops right away, his ex-wife was just raped and murdered. He is down on his luck. He's sort of a seedy character who doesn't have much going for him. He probably did it. And sure enough, there's some circumstantial evidence that points to this guy. However, there's another guy in the movie, and he is very, very popular, and everybody loves him. And he's friendly, and he's neighborly, and he's just this terrific guy. And, well, okay, of course, I'm going to give a little spoiler here, but we find this out fairly early in the film. It turns out that he just might be the necktie murderer himself. So the movie is basically about the guy who looks down and out and crummy, maybe being the necktie murderer, and the other guy, who looks very upright and lovable and friendly, also might be the necktie murderer. Now, the movie focuses primarily on that down-and-out guy, and this is a very typical kind of a Hitchcock situation. It's sort of a double chase movie. The cops are chasing him, and he is chasing the real necktie murderer. Can he find out what's really going on here? And he has interactions with various other people along the way. Now, I said before that Frenzy is a controversial movie because it really is. Hitchcock made his name making brilliant thrillers. I'll mention a couple. The Great Psycho, The Great Vertigo, The Great Rear Window. Oh, many, many, many others. And he often did that in a way that combined humor with horror, or at least with suspense. And that very much goes for Frenzy. It has a lot of humor in it as well. However, as Hitchcock's career went along, and as by the time you get into the early 1970s when Frenzy was made, censorship rules had really loosened up a lot. When Hitchcock made Psycho, which by today's standards is very tame, he was pushing the envelope back then with censorship. Okay, Frenzy was pushing the envelope to some extent in the early 70s with censorship, and it's a very different thing. There is one rape murder in the movie, which is really, really horrifying, especially the final shot of the sequence, which I've always regarded as one of the great mistakes of Hitchcock's whole career. And again, I love Hitchcock. So don't see Frenzy if you're really sensitive to things like rape and murder. That said, in many ways, it's a very entertaining movie. It's a very very successful movie, and it's a very effective and terrific movie in a lot of ways. I had mixed feelings about it even when I first saw it back in 1972, and I still have mixed feelings about it. It's mostly a very good movie, not one of the greatest, but a very good one. But it does have that one element in it which is just too much for today's standards, and I think today's standards are right in that department. So there may be a couple of moments in Frenzy when you just will be better off if you close your eyes. That aside, it's a pretty good movie, and I'm always glad when a Hitchcock film comes back into circulation. He's one of the great filmmakers of all time, and his movie never grows stale, at least not for me. So that is my somewhat suspenseful story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Oddity, Blink Twice, and Frenzy.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.